Welcome to this week's episode of The Higher Self, as we take a little bit of a different twist on the podcast. Normally, I'm the one doing the interviews, and this week, I'm getting interviewed. And my friend David Sutcliffe invited me over to a local wellness place called Kuya here in Austin. And what transpired was something that I was not expecting. I actually was taken into a moment of realization about my life and about, you know, part of my shadow, quite frankly. It ended up shocking me. And I think it's going to be awesome for you to not only learn a little bit more about my life and my story, my healing journey, my awakening journey, but also to see how, you know, even after so much healing, there's more that needs to be unraveled. Continue the conversation at dannymorell.com/awakenyou.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming. I'm David Sutcliffe. For those who don't know, I'm a former actor, and now I'm a core energetics practitioner, which is a somatic psychotherapy. And I'm here with, I want to call you Dr. Danny Morrell. You're not a doctor, but you have that aura. Danny Morrell. How do you describe yourself?
Me.
You.
I'm just me. Yeah.
What do you think about yourself? Because you have awakened your higher self.
Yeah.
Is your brand.
That's the event. Yeah.
And how do you, are you motivational? Are you a healer? How do you think of yourself?
I know this is going to sound terrible, but as me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like when we get caught up in titles and in names, it's like another way in which the ego tries to separate us from everybody else, mm-hmm. you know? And I literally think as me, trying to show everyone how to get back to them. That's it.
It's just, your wisdom is coming out of you all the time. I mean, I found you on Instagram and I was like, who is this guy? You just say it all so perfectly, like this, things that I think a lot of us think about or we've heard before, but there's a way that you articulate them so clearly and so simply so that they can be heard. It feels like you have a real gift for that. When did this start? When did you become aware that you had, well, I don't know, some kind of spiritual wisdom?
I think I've always had a knack for communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of like look back on the journey and tell that at some point in time you were going to get here type of deal. And I feel like everybody can kind of like look back and all of the trials and tribulations leads you to where you are type of deal. You know, I can remember I was running my first real estate office and we had a little team of like 7 people and I made them all just like sit in their chairs and listen to me talk. And then I was like, how'd I do? You know, but back then it was literally all about, you know, my need for approval, my need for attention, my need for validation. I wasn't aware of it back then, but that's what I was trying to do. And so I built this event called Relentless because I was, you know, relentless. I was in that grind energy, and I wanted to show everyone how to be relentless, you know? And again, as a result of that need for validation and approval, we would bring celebrities to the event. So I could feel good that I had the biggest celebrity at my event, you know? Again, I wasn't aware of it back then, but everything changed. My last guest at the last Relentless was Kobe, right before he passed away.
Wow.
It was literally 6 months before he passed away. And there was something about him because the year before we had A-Rod, Alex, the baseball player. And, you know, A-Rod is wonderful at everything, but he was was rough. You know, he was very, I'm a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I thought like, you know, Kobe's going to be probably 10 times worse because Kobe's the man. Right. And I was really excited about it. And when I met him, I'll never forget this. We walk into this room and he, these doors open and it's like the silhouette, like of light. And you see him walk in and I'm there. My brother's there. My little son is there. And he just walks in and he goes, what's up, man? I'm Kobe. I was like, oh, this dude is cool. So right. It was just really nice, you know? And I just loved his humility. Well, when he passed away, COVID hit, and that's when I started my spiritual journey. And I just thought to myself, like, when you really understand life and you really understand you and the present of the now, there is nothing to be relentless about. So one of my values is being authentic. I no longer felt authentic trying to tell or help people be something that I now knew you didn't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we turned it to awaken. And my first thought, yeah, I'm a little crazy. The first time I did ayahuasca, I thought everyone has to do this. Like the whole planet has to do this, right? And then, I'm rambling now, but my root chakra hadn't opened yet. So I was like, I was off the wall. And I would go on Facebook Lives, I would tell everybody, you got to do this. And people thought I was nuts, you know?
And this is all before you conceived Awaken.
Yeah.
This is all before. You're still in real estate.
Still in real estate.
King of Rancho Cucamonga.
Southern California. Yeah. And so I started thinking, like, everyone that I would tell, I naturally am very trusting. I trust myself. I trust other people.
Where's that? Why do you trust yourself so much? Because that feels true. Where did that come from? Or where does that come from?
Because if you're going to trust anyone, you got to learn to first trust yourself.
But a lot of people don't trust themselves.
I know.
And I know for me, like, it's not that I don't always trust myself, but I don't always listen to that intuition. I mean, this just happened to me this past weekend where my cameras, you know, got stolen.
Yeah.
And I had this, it hit me in the stomach. It was like a punch in the stomach because, like, weeks leading up, I had this intuition that something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got the news, it wasn't so much the loss of the gear. It was that I didn't listen to my intuition. Like, it was painful.
Sure.
That I didn't trust myself.
Sure.
But it does seem like you have deep faith in yourself and your intuition.
100%.
Have you always been like that?
No, I think it's like a muscle that you just gotta learn to build, and you start with little baby steps, you know.
You think about things a lot, or you just like have an idea and then take action?
I don't really think or process or plan anything.
Wow.
Nothing that I have done in life. I just wake up with an idea and I go.
When did that start?
When I was 18. So we were living in a two-bedroom apartment. My mom was a single mom. I don't know if we were on welfare or just had gotten off, but, you know, there was no money. And I just remember laying in bed thinking, I got to buy us a house. Because my dad's not around. Like, no one's, like, if I don't do something, we're going to live the rest of our lives like this. And I had decided that I didn't want to live the rest of my life. So I remember in wrestling, I had put up, like, a goal. And it was to win, like, 30 matches and qualify for the CIF tournament or whatever. And sure enough, like, I won the matches and I qualified. So I thought to myself, what if I applied, you know, that same principle to buy my mom a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then my ego kicked in, and my ego says, you know, but nobody in your family owns a house. As a matter of fact, there was one aunt that owns a house, and she's the evil one because she has money, right? So, you know, everybody else made her out to be the bad one, right? And I thought, but, like, I want a house. Like, we deserve a house. I don't want to live in this neighborhood like this anymore. And so I said, okay, I'm going to buy my mom a house by the time I'm 21 years old. And I'm going to do it. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. And sure enough, next thing you know, I bumped into a real estate agent. By the time I'm 21, I bought her a house. And so you just start, like, taking action like that. That today, like, true story, and Casper is here and my team, I drive them crazy. But we'll have Awaken. There'll be 800 or 900 people in the audience. And I don't prepare not even a second. I show up 20 minutes before, they give me the mic, I walk on, I go, all right, you guys ready? And we just start. That's it. Yeah. You just hone that muscle.
It's a muscle that you've practiced that. I mean, you're talking about being in the real estate office and you're sitting in front of your seven people and you're talking, you're practicing.
Yeah.
And I guess at some point you must have got feedback like, hey, you're good at this. Because we were talking about, my interview with Andrew Tate, and I was saying, like, sitting across from him and listening to him speak and how articulate he is and the way the ideas come. And you were like, kind of like, I can go head to head with him. Like, you know, like there's some way that, you know, like you have that skill.
Sure,
like it's
sure.
a real skill that you have.
Yeah.
When did you realize that you had that? Because I think it's, it may be, I mean, there's a lot of skills that are important, but communicating ideas in the world we live in right now seems very important.
You know, and I appreciate that, but the truth is that we all are wonderful at something. We all have the special ability to do something.
Right.
We're just afraid to go on the journey of discovering exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the world is set up so that you prioritize or you put more value on certain people because of their skills. And I don't think that that's very fair, you know, because there's people who can make a wonderful meal. And I'm like, man, I wish I could do that, right? Mm-hmm. There's people that have beautiful design. Like, look at this place. Like, I was like, I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, how do you pick the plants? How do you pick the carpet? You know? So these are all beautiful skills that I think that we as human beings have. And then when you start the spiritual journey, it's like you tap into your gifting. And what happens, what I have found happening is that you take that skill that you're good at in the 3D world,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like somehow correlates to a gift that you can tap into to help the rest of humanity, which I think is really beautiful about life.
That's how you're oriented, like to use the gift that you have to help humanity.
For sure.
When did you have that realization or make that decision that that's what you were going to do with your gifts?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think that the outside world is a direct reflection of the inside world.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you have in life on the outside, it's somehow showing you what's going on the inside. I really feel like because I trusted myself, people trusted me.
Uh-huh.
Like, because I trusted my vision, people would gravitate towards my vision as well.
Yes.
And so, you know, I started to see that and then as I started to heal and I started to deal with my wounds, with my mother, with my father, with, you know, with women, with food, with everything, right? I started to think to myself, oh my God, like, if this is all the stuff that I had to heal, like, imagine humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's 8 billion people out there. And no one had ever even told me at that time that this was even a thing. Like, and so I thought, my God, like, I got to find a way to help people,
uh-huh.
you know? And so it started with, on my birthday, I would gather 20 to 30 friends and we would do a mushroom ceremony at uh-huh. the house. That's how it started, right? And I did that for a couple of years in a row. And I go, no, there's just more people. And that turned into Awaken.
And that all happened. That's like fairly recently.
Yeah, yeah. Within the last 5 years, 4 years. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So you've built it up very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Because the idea and the premise was, there's a lot that we have to heal. There's a lot of limitations that we have on our lives that we even think of as our personalities, that were all shaped as a result of what happened in those first 7 years of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened with mom, what happened with dad. And
what happened with mom and dad?
Mine?
Yeah.
So if I look back, I really believe my mom had a soul contract with me. Like, the way I like to think of it is, we were up there and we both planned, and we were like, okay, you're going to go down first, and your mom is going to die. My mom's mom died 13 days prior to after her being born.
Wow.
So my mom never had, I like to think of it as the energy of love, mm-hmm. like maternal love in yeah. her life. She never felt it. She always felt disconnected. She always felt like something wasn't right. And even, you know, as my mom, I could always tell her, she was always like, I'd see moments of like joy and happiness, but there was always something off, you know? And
she grew up in Ecuador.
She grew up in Ecuador. And then my grandfather, when she was 8 years old, showed up and said, "That's not your grandmother, that's your aunt." So you can imagine that.
Oh my God.
And I'm your dad and I'm taking you with me. So imagine that at 8 years old. Like, wow. Yeah, yeah. So anyhow, my dad went through the same thing because my dad's dad basically disowned him. So I had a mom who didn't have the feminine energy of love in her life. And then I had a dad whose masculine was all jacked up, right? So when you hear me talk about masculine and feminine, like I just started seeing it in my own life. And again, I started thinking, oh my God, I got to talk about this stuff, right? And so both of them came together. And for me, what happened is the way that I can explain it was none of them really, they didn't, I knew they loved me, but they didn't know how to like show me love.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying I love you wasn't a thing, right?
Really?
No, it wasn't a thing. And so as a result of that, I started looking for love outside of myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can remember being 14, wanting to get married.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I want to get married. I want to find the one. Where is she? Where is she? I want to have kids. It was like this like story that just kept playing mm-hmm. in my head mm-hmm. over and over. And I want to be rich and I want to be famous. And if you think about it, it was all about like, I want to find love.
Yeah. Well, that's why I became an actor. Yeah. I didn't realize that at the time, but I was looking, I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be known in the way that I didn't feel I was loved and seen as a child. And then I, you know, of course I got it and nothing changed. I felt the same inside. And that's when my spiritual journey started. So I relate to that.
And that's what happened to me. Like I had built the business up to such a high level and I got there and then my mom passed away. She passed away of cancer, lung cancer, never smoked a day in her life, which I later started to correlate, you know, we hold grief in our lungs.
Interesting.
Which was,
she
was holding it since she was a little girl. And so the motivation, the real motivation, if I'm honest, to like help heal or help the process of healing for people is because if I would have known what I know now, I would have been able to help my mom, essentially, you know?
Interesting.
But it all works perfectly because mm-hmm. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for the fact that she went through that. So.
Your parents split when you were 9?
13.
Oh, 13. Okay. Yeah. And it sounds like you had a good relationship with your mother. You guys were close.
Yeah. It became more of like some weird husband mom dynamic.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, I was raising my brothers. I was really responsible. I was the man of the house. True story. We grew up in New York. So you take subways or taxis or whatever. She didn't know how to drive. So we moved to California. And at 13, I was the one who learned how to drive illegally.
Wow.
And I was driving us around because she was too nervous.
Did that impact your relationships with women? This dynamic that you had with your mother, feeling like you had to take care of her?
Yeah, because I was always trying to save everybody. Uh-huh. I was always trying to like forever, because my mom was a single mom.
Yeah.
Forever I dated only single moms.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You wanted to save them.
Yeah.
Because I guess if the belief unconsciously is that if you save them, then you can be loved. You're of value.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like this. There was so much unnecessary baggage, drama, energy, restlessness. I wasn't at peace.
Yeah.
I didn't know who I was. I was so busy trying to chase something outside of myself that I never gave myself the time nor the decency to be honest with myself about what I really wanted.
I want to ask you about your father, but did you have a rock bottom moment? I mean, you build up this huge real estate company and you start to realize that it's not making you happy. There's an emptiness there.
Yeah.
What happened that caused you to make this transition? Was there a moment?
So my mom passed away. And in that moment, she passed away in a way where I was there basically holding her. I saw her take her last breath.
In her
arms.
She died in your arms.
Her head wasn't here, but I was,
wow.
Yeah. And I look up and yeah, yeah, yeah. The most interesting thing and the thing that hurt me the most, which is where sometimes I get a little passionate about the conversation of religion, you know, but I don't want to do that here right now. I'm going to avoid that subject. Was that my mom was so faithful that, like, I remember the pastor praying for her, and she literally believed that, like, God was going to come heal her till the very last breath. Because like a minute before she passed away, I remember the pastor was leading her in a prayer, and then he said, and everyone had said, and my mom couldn't talk. At that point, she couldn't talk. And I remember her saying, amen. And then like a minute later, she's gone.
Wow.
Yeah. So to me, that angered me. That was my rock bottom.
It angered you. Why exactly?
It angered me because I saw her have so much faith, but what she had faith in didn't come true.
Uh-huh.
And I saw her wither away.
Who are you angry at?
I was angry at God.
At God.
For a long time. For a very long time. Yeah. Now we're homies. We're cool. It's all good now. Yeah.
I love that because, you know, I bring that up a lot when I'm working with people and I ask them that question, are you angry at God? And no, I'm not angry at God, but if you're angry at life, you're angry at God.
If you're angry at life, you're angry at God. If you're angry at life and God, you're angry at yourself.
That's right.
People don't want to think about it like that.
Yeah.
But it's all one.
Right. So you're angry at God. You're in some sense in opposition to life.
Yeah.
Right. You're resentful.
Resentful. So then I start asking myself some really tough questions. Are you happy?
And at this, you got lots of money. You're successful.
Yeah.
Nice car, watch. Yeah, the whole you're set up.
Everything is good.
Right.
Yeah, I'm that guy that everybody comes over to his house. I feed everybody. They all mooch off me.
Yeah.
I don't ever go. You don't ever invite me to your house, but you somehow every weekend show up at my house.
Right.
I just take care of everybody. It's all good. You know. It's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But deep inside, like. You know, if I can be honest, another reason why I talk about masculine, feminine energy was because I was a little bitch in my relationship.
Say more about that. What do you mean?
So I was, because I didn't know who I was,
uh-huh.
And because I wasn't connected to real love within myself, and because I was looking for love outside of myself, I was afraid.
Yeah.
Because what people don't realize is that is the essence of the energy of fear. The energy of fear is separation.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't ever become whole until we finally realize, by the way, not because this is going to click in your mind. This has to click in your cells and the fiber of your being that everything you've been looking for, you have. I didn't know that back then, though, you know?
So if you've been listening to my podcast, you know I'm a strong believer and proponent of plant medicine's ability to awaken your mind, body, and soul. And many of you have asked me where I recommend going to experience the power of these medicines, and the only place on planet Earth I would ever recommend is Reunion. It's a not-for-profit healing center with over 30 years of experience in Costa Rica, which I trust wholeheartedly. I'm honored to have aligned with them to create the Higher Self Scholarship Fund. $100 from every booking from our community goes into this fund, and we will award the fund to someone like you every couple of months. So help me help others by using the code DANNYREUNION when registering. The link to register can be found in the podcast notes, or you can learn more by going to reunionexperience.org.
So I was in this position where I was in this marriage. I was married for 13 years, and my ex-wife, you know, was a little rough around the edges, you know?
You mean bossing you around?
It was worse than that. It was like, you know, those kind of people that when you start a conversation with them, if you say one wrong word, an argument starts.
Yeah.
And there is no way out of that argument, and you're backed up against the wall, and either you're going to just say, I'm sorry, or
it's going to get ugly.
It's going to get ugly. And then, you know, so for me, it was like, but for the sake of the kids, and I just, okay, I'll just, well, 13 years after of that, like eventually, something, you're going to explode.
Yeah.
You know? And by the way, I do not blame her. That is 100% my fault.
Right.
Because I didn't have the courage to speak up, to articulate what I was feeling. To be fair,
Did you know what you were feeling?
No.
You probably had no awareness.
I had no awareness of anything. But what I did know was that at the time, I was in relationship with someone that didn't have the ability to listen or articulate back to me, accept responsibility, like basic relationship 101, essentially, you know, we talked about this the other day in our conversation. So the rock bottom for me was the following. I was the good guy. I was the guy that, you know, all of the wives would send their husbands to Mexico for the bachelor party, only if they knew I was going.
Wow. Because
they knew, like, as if it was my responsibility, that if I was going, they would be good.
Yeah.
Like, I was that guy. I was the church boy, the you know, like, on the outside, I was Mr. Perfect.
Wow.
But on the inside, man, I was unhappy, and stuff started to happen. And sure enough, I had an affair. That's
right.
That's when I hit my rock bottom.
Uh-huh.
And I say that's my rock bottom because I grew up with a grandfather who was a womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
He had, I think it's 15 different children from like 10 different women.
Wow.
And some of them like all at the same time. So I, if I'm honest, despised that in him. And I told myself I would never do that. And that was my rock bottom.
Mm. Did you feel shame about it?
Oh, big time.
Because it really confronted your idealized self-image about being this good, perfect guy.
What it did was like the glass house started to like crumble. You know, this perfect little image that you've been trying so hard to build so that people like you, like there was a little chip in it.
Uh-huh.
And then forget about it. Everything started to fall apart.
Yes, you had shame.
Yeah.
When did you cop to it?
At first I didn't.
Uh-huh.
No, because no one ever like found out.
Uh-huh.
But it, you know, energy, you just feel things.
Did you enjoy it?
If I'm honest, it was the most free I had ever felt at that time in my life.
Interesting.
Yeah, I felt like I was living life in a cage, and I felt like I was finally like, it was this battle because like on one end, now I'm a sinner and I'm going to go to hell. Right. And then on the other end, like I finally listened to my instincts, like what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know? So it was this battle of like, but wait a minute, but right and wrong, but like, you know, like church and society says this, but like, I feel this, but like, well, how can this be wrong if I feel it? And,
right.
You know, that's really where the journey began for me.
So I from that place, I'm assuming you don't really regret it.
It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
It was like the key that like unlocked the lion, basically. Mm-hmm. And like it drove me to my knees because I obviously caused my family hurt, which I did not want to do. And I had nowhere to go because I was mad at God because my mom had passed away. So I was I was going nowhere really fast. And that's when I turned to ayahuasca. That's when I turned to plant medicine, basically.
That was the first step you took.
That was it.
Why ayahuasca? What did you hear about ayahuasca? What was the connection for you?
The connection for me was that for 10 years prior to me sitting with ayahuasca, I was that guy that said, if you do that, you're going to hell.
Heard about it and friends were doing it and you...
Yeah, no. Because they say that that's bad, so it's bad.
Wow.
I'm with them and you're going to hell if you do that. So you know, that's all ego.
Yeah.
And that's all, truly, it's all fear. Yes. Right? I like to think of it as like skydiving. Like, until you go skydiving, shut up.
Yeah.
Because you can't say anything about it, right?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
You know, so like Casper went skydiving, my buddy, a couple of my friends. You should go. You do what you want to do, but I don't feel called for that.
Yeah. Right?
But some people, what they do is they go, no, skydiving is stupid. It's the worst thing you could ever do. But you've never tried it.
Yeah.
That's your ego.
Yeah.
That's your ego trying to defend the construct that you have created in your mind that is truly based on fear, quite frankly.
Fear, yeah. Yeah. What, I mean, it's a broad question. Maybe we should start what you did. You want your first ceremony.
Yeah. I went for a week.
You went for a week.
Yeah. Again, I just go all in. Yeah. I just went for a week, three ceremonies.
And, wow.
Yeah.
And what happened? What did you learn? What did you take away from that?
So the first ceremony was the scariest moment of my entire life.
Uh-huh.
The first thing that happened to me was my ego was so big back then that I go up to the shaman, I go up to the altar, I take a cup, and you know, I sit there for like an hour and a half.
Where is this?
Costa Rica.
You're okay.
And I'm not feeling anything. And I'm looking around and all these people are like moaning and groaning and like, you know, they're tossing and turning. And I'm sitting there like, this stuff is nothing. Like, this is, come on, right? So then, you know, this is my ego, right? Uh-huh. It is so perfect, by the way it happens. Because like, she was like, okay, you watch. I'm going to humble your ass right now. So then sure enough, I go up and the shaman says, you know, who'd like a second cup? And I'm literally the first one there. You know, I'm walking up, right? And he goes, how much do you want? I go, just whatever, because this stuff doesn't work. Like I didn't say those words, but I like that energy is what was, you know. And he goes, okay. And he gave me, you know. And so then I sit down, and I'll never forget this. The moment that my ass hits the ground, I think, oh shit, I better lay down. And so I lay down and I put my hands right here on my heart. And all of a sudden my arms like start flapping. And this is not me, it's my arms, right? And I'm like, what in the world is happening? And so then I close my eyes and again, David, I was that guy that I used to go to church and I always used to pray really hard because people, you see, I hear God's voice and I'd be like, I want to hear, like, well, I don't hear anything, but I want to hear something,
yeah,
you know? And it was the first time in my life that I had ever heard anything as clear as can be. She told me in Spanish, she told me, my son, I'm about to transform your life the same way that a butterfly is transformed. And my arms are flapping and all of a sudden, like I see the cocoon like open and I fly out like a little butterfly, basically.
Wow.
And that was my journey. So if you see our logo now at Awaken or
yes, anything,
it's
yes,
that little
butterfly,
it's a story of transformation.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyhow, that first ceremony, scariest moment of my life.
That was scary?
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the scary part?
The scary part was when I looked over to the left and I saw a skull. And I looked over to the right and I saw another skull. And essentially what happened was I was convinced that I had been led to some sort of like a cult and I was about to die.
Yeah, I've been there.
You've been there? Yeah. So, but I'm smart. So I devised a plan. My plan was that if I drink enough water, I can get this stuff out of me.
Uh-huh.
and then I could hop on a plane and fly back home. So that was my plan.
Yeah.
Well, if you've ever done Aya, you know that the more water you drink, the more that you purge.
Yeah.
She was essentially getting me to purge all of this crap outside of myself.
Right.
And I literally ran. True story. Middle of ceremony, I ran out. Yeah. They had to come find me. I'm in the kitchen. Cause I had heard that like limes cut it. So I was like looking for limes and I'm tripping balls, by the way. And drinking water and throwing up all at the same time.
You want out of the experience. Overwhelming. It's so intense.
Yeah. I was out of control.
Remember
the glass house?
Yes.
The perfect little picture. It was all about me controlling the narrative essentially.
Right? Yeah.
And so I had to come face to face with that basically. And finally, my buddy Barry calls me in and I'm like, that's it. It's over. I'm never going to see my kids again. And I'm like mourning basically. And I lay down and I basically just put like the blanket over my head. And I saw the newspaper clipping like Danny Morrell dies in like cult like setting in Costa Rica. And I'm like, you idiot. What did you do? And next thing the shaman goes, that concludes the first ceremony. And I literally go like this, like, And then like, you know, people start walking by and I'm like, we're not going to die. And they're like, no.
Well, I guess a part of you did die though.
You see, I have probably had, no lie, 1,000 deaths since then.
Right.
I just didn't know. Like Now I know when one is about to hit. So uh-huh. I can breathe through it and I could let it pass. But that was my first ever, call it ego death, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I wasn't aware. Yeah. And then by the third ceremony, I was like, give me more. It was the greatest experience of my life. And yeah.
Being out of control. That's why I got so scared the first time I drank. Well, not the first, every time.
Every time. Yeah.
Was that feeling of this thing has a hold of me and I have to let go of control. I have to surrender. And it's just terrifying. How is that for you? Because like, what is that balance that you have between, I mean, obviously there's a way that it seems like you have, or at least from the outside looking in, you have control over your life to a degree. And yet you have to let go of control. And it's a hard thing to navigate. I mean, I'm always trying to ride that line. How do you think about that?
Two ways. First, the greatest advice that I can give anyone is that life is a white canvas and God, source, universe, whatever you want to call it, is trying to show you that you have the opportunity to paint on that canvas whatever painting you want, whatever partner you want, whatever money you want, whatever business you want, whatever life you want, whatever house you want, whatever impact you want, however you want to help others, there is literally nothing or no one stopping you. Mm-hmm. The problem is
that— How do you know that? Because you know it. You know that. Well, not everybody knows that.
No, that's what I was about to say. The problem is that when your dad tells you, shut up, don't you talk when I'm talking. When your mom's not around because she's busy working, when your parents, who are supposed to be the epitome of love, spank you and hit you, when you get bullied at school, when all of these things happen, you forget. When you get cheated on, when someone mistreats you, when your parents give, you know, the youngest child, the most attention. All of these things are ways in which we quickly discover, like, whoa, number one, it's not safe to be me. And number two, I don't know that this is the most loving place out there. Mm. So we get disconnected from the essence of who we really are, right?
Yeah.
And in many ways, I can tell you that I know because that's what I wanted to know. When I journeyed, I want to know. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. What's God? How does life work? I want to know, like, you know, when I used to think about things and it would manifest, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And so every journey was about, for me, And then life becomes a journey, just removing anything within me that would cause me to not understand how powerful I am, we are, and how beautiful this life is.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So you just decide.
You decide.
You decide what you want.
And do you have a practice that allows you to remember that? Because there's so many things in life that can pull you back into the Maya, back into the illusion, back into the lie, back into the fear.
Yeah, you
ready?
And
I find for me, yeah, please.
I get rid of all those things.
You don't, the news.
I don't watch the news. I don't hang out with people that. This is why.
So you just stay in the pocket of it 24/7.
I just stay in me and love.
That's so inspiring.
And this is what, but this is why I told you, this is a true story. David was at my house this week. And there's very few people, you know, we have a podcast and there's very few people that we invite back because like, even I say this, you know, with love, but even in like this, like spiritual community, people aren't what you think they are. Like so then when I told you, it's like, you know what I love about you? You know what I love about him is you don't need anything from me. Do you know how many people need something from me because they see that I have followers or because they see that I have an event, and you could feel that energy from a mile away. And to me, it's like, I'm so used to it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, could you just please be you? But people,
yeah.
But also I need it too.
Yes.
So I understand it.
Yeah.
But as a result, I stay away from any energy, any frequency that would, I just love myself and
yeah.
I protect myself in that way.
What is your relationship to your own needs? Because I struggle with my needs, and you know, Diane is here and she'll tell you that, like, particularly early in the relationship, it was really hard for me to ask for what I needed. And I would expect her to just know. And she would say, well, you could just ask me.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, annoyingly reasonable.
Sure.
Because it was terrifying. I had a lot of shame about my needs. And I guess, I don't know, how are you with your needs, asking for what you need? Because even, you know, when my camera equipment got stolen, I had to reach out to you and
yeah.
ask for help. And I felt the edge of that. Like, I don't want to need help. I don't want to have to ask for help. And I don't know, do you have any of that? Because you did say something in our conversation that you were, you know, we were talking about women and choosing the one that there was some confusion that you had a little crisis, and you don't usually like to reach out and ask for help, but you did in this case. Do you ask for help? Do you ask for what you need in a vulnerable way?
So I think there's two parts to that.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, there's like the business side. And so I want to speak to that because I think that this is where we as human beings tend to like collude things a little bit. And as a result, we hold ourselves back, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I think this, I would hope that this would be of help to people. I met a man, his name was Dr. Meltzer. Dr. Meltzer changed my life. He changed my life because at the time I was like 50 pounds overweight. I was working 6 days a week. I was doing well in business, but I was miserable. And Dr. Meltzer is like 80 years old at the time. He like goes and runs in the ocean and he has his mornings off. He'll show up to the office from like 11 to 2 and then he'll go like smoke weed in the afternoon or something. He was just like that kind of guy. He was so cool, right? And I was like, well, how do you do that? And he said, Chief, he said, it's very simple. He said, you could either have a work style or a lifestyle. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And he said, the thing is that very few people actually have a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I want to have a lifestyle. He goes, okay, then you gotta follow the golden rule. And there's two of them. And I go, okay. And so I'm like writing notes, right? And I'm writing notes. He goes, number one, he says, you can make as much money in the world as you want. Just don't work more than 20 hours a week to make it. Now, listen, at that time in my life, I was like, what the hell is he talking? Like, how? Because it seemed so far-fetched for me.
Yeah.
Because I had literally built my business knocking on doors, talking to people, working extremely hard. You know, you look on social media, everybody tells you to, you got to work hard for what you want. And I'm not saying that working hard is bad. What I'm saying is that Dr. Meltzer helped me to see a different way. And he also taught me that all I needed to do was desire that to be my life. And it's okay if you don't, because there's a lot of people that like, they just like love being busy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more and more that I got out of here and the more and more that I returned here, which I like to think of it as the masculine and the feminine, mm-hmm. right? The feminine like likes to just like chill. It's the feminine in all of us. Just like to chill on the couch and relax and maybe watch some TV and be around family, you know? The more and more I started to be honest with myself and my needs, the more and more I started to ask myself, what do you really want? And what kept coming to me was, I want to live life on my terms.
Mm-hmm.
So then I asked, well, what does that look like, right? And then I just described what that looked like. And then the second thing that Dr. Meltzer told me, he said, only do what only you can do. So only I can run the calls. Only I can get on stage at Awaken.
Yeah.
But everything else can be delegated. And so when you say, do I ask for help? I don't ask for help. I demand it on the business side of things.
I understand.
I literally do not do anything. I don't make my bed. I don't do my laundry. I don't check my email. I don't do anything.
You check your email?
No, why would I? No, it's terrible. No. I don't manage my calendar. I just show up and I do what only I can do. But listen, guys, that takes courage. Think about that. That takes courage. But it goes back to that challenge he gave me. It's like, which one do you want? So my brain goes, lifestyle. He goes, okay, well then. So then you get to go, that's the journey you get to go on, and you get to go in and face and just start asking yourself these questions. Like, why do I have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, could somebody else do that for me? And at first it's scary, because then it's like, well, I'm going to have to hire somebody. I'm going to have to pay somebody. I'm going to have to.
Right.
That's your ego. That's fear. That's all the ways in which you stop yourself from having the life that you really want.
Yeah.
So if that is there, then the opposite is there. You just got to go on the journey to find it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I just went on that journey.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But there is, it does, there's a trust that you have in yourself and
for
in
sure.
life that is a gift. And I can feel, you know, listening to you talk, like what it does to me, like it infuses me with more courage, and I can see why you have 800 people coming to your events. Like there's something that you're radiating that feels true.
Yeah. On the personal side.
Yeah.
Especially like with women.
Yes.
Right. Like Jen has changed my life in that
part.
Because I didn't know how to be honest with what I was feeling. Because in my previous relationship, again, I can't blame any, it was me.
Yeah.
I wasn't free to express what I was feeling because there was no space for what I was feeling.
Uh-huh.
There was no space to even be heard.
Right.
And then if I ever did express it, there was no space for acknowledgement or validation or the attempt to accept personal responsibility for your role in the way that I was feeling.
Right.
Because relationships are co-created.
Yes.
You know? So that took me a lot of work. And Jen gave me the safe space because she is just says it. She has zero filter. Maybe she's because she's British. I don't know. But that woman has zero filter. She just says whatever is on her mind.
And
we deal with it.
Right. And that opened you up to say what was on your
mind.
Right. Which must have been scary at first.
Scary as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it felt on some level wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know how to be that version of me.
Well, and I can imagine if your parents split when you were young, and then you're taking care of your mother, you'd have to deny your own needs to some degree in order to take care of her. And your father's not around to take care of your mother, which is really his job. What is your relationship like with your father?
So we somewhat, I realized that in order for me to do the work that I needed to do, you can't help anyone else heal what you don't have the courage to heal within yourself. Uh-huh. So I had to deal with that. I remember being on stage, and at that time there were like 400 people in front of me doing breath work. It was the most beautiful thing in the world. And Source told me very vividly, said, you're never going to help them. You're never going to be able to help them be everything that they're intended to be if you don't become everything that you're intended to be. And my ego was like, but I am. I got to figure it out. And they were like, deal with your father. And I literally remember saying, nope, not that one.
So this is recently.
It's 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, not that one.
And what was the relationship once they split? I mean, you moved out to California with your mother. Did your dad stay in New York?
He stayed in New York.
And how often did you see him?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
On the phone, did you talk? Was there...
No. I mean, I think maybe he tried for a little bit, but then he just kind of...
He tried?
Yeah.
But were you not open to him? Were you angry? Were you resentful?
No. It just... He's the kind of guy... I was just in New York a week ago for Awaken.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Papi, I'm in town. Why don't you come on over and we'll hang out? No. I don't want to go over because of COVID. True story. This is what he says. This is the way he thinks. He lives in fear.
Right.
So he's the kind of guy that like just doesn't know how to like reach out or show interest or like not even try. And I'm okay with that. Like I had to be okay with that.
I'm not okay with that.
Well, no one showed him interest.
Right.
That's why I'm okay with it. Yeah. He doesn't know. He doesn't know how to be any other thing, basically.
But that must be painful.
It was for a while. Yeah, it was for a while. Now I see him for the little boy that wished that someone paid him the attention that he deserved. And I see that little boy and I understand why he doesn't know how to give it to me.
Right.
So I'm okay now.
That must have been a journey though to get there. I mean, did you anger, resentment?
Purging, throwing up
during in ceremony.
Yeah.
Until you got to this place of acceptance. You could see him just as a person with his own issues and forgive him and not take personally. Because I can imagine the boy, I mean, we want validation from our father. We want our father to be
absolutely
proud of us, to see us.
Absolutely.
And we want to please him.
Yeah.
He must be proud of you though. He must be so incredibly proud of you.
I don't know that he's even aware. To be honest,
he doesn't go check your website, look at your Instagram,
that and
that like shows his friend that's my boy.
I legit the answer is no.
Wow. Yeah.
My dad is just
sad for me. I mean, not for you. I mean, for you, but also for him.
For him, yeah. Yeah, for him.
Like to not know you. He's probably scared of you on some level. You're so powerful, and if he's so afraid, he probably doesn't even know what to make of you.
But David, I don't think he's scared of me. I think he's scared of himself.
What do you mean?
I think he's scared of the version of him that could open up to like love.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Because he's like this. And I say that, guys, because if you're listening, like I believe that the process of self-actualization comes face to face with any unhealed energy that you have with your mother and father. Because if you don't go there, you will always have that craving, that want, and that need outside of you. And I am telling you, that's going to show up in the partner that you choose.
Right.
It's going to show up in your business and your financial life. And it shows up. It's all the same thing. So I have peace in this because my dad's the kind of guy that will say, did you tell your brothers, that I love them? And I'll say, and I'll be like, no, he won't use those words. Did you tell your brothers that it wasn't my fault? That it was your mom? That it was your mom that did that? And I go, yes, I told. Are you sure you told? I go, and I'll say to him, well, why don't you just call them? And he'll go, no, I don't. He's afraid. He's afraid of connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. I haven't even told Jen this. His dream. I support him financially now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And his dream.
How is he with that?
I mean,
do you talk about it? Does he say thank you?
It just auto withdraws.
It's just, there's no.
No, because David, you see, and this is, you got to understand, guys. The greatest gift that a human being can give another human being,
uh-huh.
You know what that is? The gift of life. It's the gift of life.
Meaning, in this case.
Meaning, I would not be here without him.
Right, I see. I see.
So, like, once
you're
I was able
to. You're honoring your father no matter what.
No matter what. Because I wouldn't be here without him.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, forget about all the, you know. All of what I wish he could have been, whatever. I'm here because of him.
Yes.
You know? So when we were in the Dominican Republic, he told me that his dream was to just own a house with a little chicken coop. So I'm like going crazy now. Like, okay, I got to buy him a house with a little chicken coop in mm-hmm. the Dominican Republic. True story, though. We're building a guest house right now. And I'm putting a chicken coop back there. And like two weeks ago, he calls me. He's having a health issue. And I got this download the other night. And I'm like, shit, he's going to end up living with me.
Wow.
Because it's just going to be the way that we. I just saw it. I saw it. Yeah. So I'm having to deal with that because that's going to bring me face to face with like caring for.
That's deep.
I know, bro. I know.
Wow.
I know.
Well,
I have to tell Jen, so don't air this. So that I have to tell.
Well,
her.
I'm. I don't know. Makes me happy for both of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's something will happen.
Something. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
What?
I don't know. Should we ask?
Oh, I was just getting started.
Oh, we're just getting started? There's more?
Whatever you want.
What time is it?
I don't know.
Oh, we got lots of time. Okay.
It's impossible for you to have a successful relationship with another human being or a partner if you don't have a successful relationship with yourself. And what we as human beings don't realize is that we are deeply disconnected. We're disconnected from Mother Earth. We're disconnected from peace. We're disconnected from love. What we do at Awaken is we curate different exercises to help you reconnect first to yourself, and then the beautiful process of reconnecting to everybody begins. And that's why Awaken is so powerful. You'll do more in 3 days at Awaken than you would do 30 years anywhere else.
I was so stuck, and now I feel peace.
Awaken has been the best thing we have done for our marriage.
Coming here, I realized that the answers were inside of me all the time.
Head on over to DannyMorrell.com/awaken now to get your tickets today.
What do you, I mean, so here's how I experience you.
Okay.
Like you have a, and I don't mean this in a, I don't know, a negative way, but
it's
just
okay if you do.
No, I don't. Like it's, you have an answer for everything.
Yeah.
And they're very convincing answers. Like they're very persuasive. Like I believe you.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, what is there? You can't have it all figured out.
No.
What don't you have figured out? What do you struggle with? What's hard for you? Are you lonely?
I don't have an answer for that.
Are you? Do you?
Okay, you know what's hard for me?
Yeah.
Relationship with men. It's hard for me. That's why I like you. You're easy. You're safe. You don't need anything from me.
Yeah.
That's why I like Samson. Samson does his thing. He's safe. He's cool. That's why I like Albert. Albert's on another level. These are
right.
Like, you know. True story.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the podcast and Casper like hands me an object. I won't say the object. And I'm like, oh, cool. What is this? This guy's coming on the show and he does this thing. Oh, cool. Okay, whatever. Anyhow, I hit it off with the guy. We became buddies. Next thing you know, he has me do a social media post with the thing, with the object. And unbeknownst to me, he was introduced to us from this guy that was on the show.
Uh-huh.
It's like one of the local Austin spiritual people.
Yeah.
And the guy hits me up and he's like, you know, you really need to thank people when they introduce you. And if you don't, there's some universal karmic blah, that you open up the portals to fucking hell or whatever. And I'm like, what? Literally, like,
wow. What?
And I didn't respond. And I didn't respond because I knew what he wanted. He wanted my energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I get that.
Yeah.
And then I responded, you know, and I shouldn't have. And I learned a lesson.
How did you respond?
I was like, listen, this seems like a you with you thing because uh-huh. I was unaware of any of this. Mm-hmm. So if you want to like refer people to us, thank you. But what was the purpose of you referring them? Did you need some sort of thank you? Did you need some sort of validation? Because I'm not here to give you that.
Yeah.
That's not my role. That's your role. And then he... Assalamu alaikum. But that's my experience with a lot of men, to be honest with you.
So.
And I'll take ownership and co-creating it.
Sure.
And if you want to like dig deep, whatever, let's do it. But I'm just being honest.
Well, I mean, you don't trust men.
Yeah.
Why would you?
I trust you.
Do you?
I trust you.
You do?
I do.
Why? 100%. Why do you trust me?
Because there's no, number one, because I know you've done the work. I know you've dealt with your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that that is very rare to find amongst human beings nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like people like to do surface level,
mm-hmm.
right? And like play the part. But when you say that I have an answer for everything, it's because I went in. Like, and then more in. And when you find, when you go there, what you find is peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposite of peace is like need.
Mm-hmm.
So when I feel need from people,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, ugh.
So, okay. So that would indicate to me, like if you are put off by somebody's need, that would tell me that there's some part of your need that you repress, which is my instinct.
Okay.
With you. Like if I was to really, I mean, it would make sense. You had to repress your need in order to survive.
Yeah.
Literally to take care of your family. Like you're 13.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to be taking care of your mother.
Yeah.
You want to be free. You want to be doing the things that you want to do. So some aspect of your freedom, of your need to be free or do what you want, be who you are, not have to, I mean, taking care of your mother at 13. I know this because I went through this.
Yeah.
It created a burden on me. And then all women represented burden because I didn't know how to have my need with women. So my whole orientation was I have to take care of them. I have to repress my own need, which would, I'm not saying this is what happened with you, but then I would feel this resentment. And then it wasn't until Diana where she was just like, why don't you just fucking ask me?
Right. That's right.
And where I had to confront that. But because in the place where your dad wasn't around also, like he's supposed to be taking care of that shit. He's supposed to be taking care of your mother.
I know. Yeah. But he didn't.
He didn't.
Yeah.
But it's like some sadness. Like, do you let people see your sadness? Do you let, because I can also imagine, Danny, like because you're such a high profile guy and you're like, I don't want to say that you're performing all the time, because you're not. Like, I don't feel you as performative.
Sure.
But you're also like, you are on stage a lot. You are, you know, on Instagram, you're making videos, you're doing the thing, and you can get it. And I know that as an actor, like, you get into these zones, and then sometimes, like, you know, I'd be 3, 4, 5, 6 months in character, and then I come out of the character, I was like, I was somewhere.
Yeah.
And there was some other part of me that I wasn't paying attention to.
I mean, I would say,
what would Jen say?
I wish she was here.
What's her, I don't want to say her complaint, but what's, like, is she have a consistent reflection to you?
I think the consistent one with her is there's times that I check out.
Uh-huh.
And I can feel it now. And I'm not in my heart.
Where do you go?
In my head.
What are you thinking about?
I don't know that I'm thinking. I just want to retreat.
Uh-huh.
I just want to be alone.
So there's something in the present that you don't want to deal with.
Or that I don't know how to communicate or articulate.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm honest, I feel like where I'm most vulnerable is probably like in like one-to-many settings, but like one-to-one settings, that's rough. It's rougher for
me. To like, so for you and I to be vulnerable, you'd be vulnerable with me in a,
I don't know. With you, I don't know. I feel comfortable. I don't know.
How you to, do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's so, but it is hard in general. You can be vulnerable in front of a crowd.
Cause I'm just always thinking, what do they want from me?
What do they want? Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's, I guess that, because I asked intuitively, like, are you lonely? And I know in some way you're not lonely, but in the place where you're looking out at the world, you're looking, you don't trust men because some, you know, your father on some level.
Some level, sure.
And, you know, you're looking out and what do people want from me? That just feels like a lonely place.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I have to, like, it was interesting because, like, last night, we went to our friend Britt's birthday party, and I have to talk. I have to literally, like, okay, be nice to people. Come on, like hang out, get to know people. You know, it's okay. Yeah.
Do you always have to be nice? Are you always nice? What happens if you're not nice?
I didn't mean it in that way. I meant like conversate.
I understand.
Yeah,
but I'm just taking it there.
Okay. So ask again.
Yeah. Like, do you have to be nice? Like, is there an image in your mind that, like, you always have to be nice? You have to be good.
I think that very much was a part of it in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I can be a real asshole sometimes.
You can.
Yeah.
What's that look like? When are you an asshole? How does that express itself? How does it feel to hear him say, like, he can be an asshole sometimes? You love it. Feels good. Yeah.
Man. Like, I can be an asshole to Casper.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're like, we're friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so there's a shadow.
Yeah, he's another one that I trust.
Yeah.
I trust Randy.
Yeah.
There's just good humans, you know, and it was... 2 weeks ago, I had Aaron Apke on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
and we really connected. We really connected.
He's great.
He's wonderful. And I invited him, my buddy Shaddy. I feel like when people are safe and they can just be them and I can just be me, it's like, I like to take care of people. So, like, I brought them over to the house. I had a wonderful dinner for them, and it feels nice. It's just...
But is that default? Like, is that just like the place you go? Like, I take care of people. Is that a pattern?
It could be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it could
be. I think it is part of your essence.
Yeah.
I'm not trying
to... No. Yeah.
It's a mask. Yeah, but is there a way that that's more comfortable than getting...
That is 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
It's more comfortable for me to take care of people than it is for me to allow them to take care of me.
Let me take care of you. Just feel that. Don't try to make sense of it.
Felt kind of weird.
Yeah, but just feel that. Let me just take care of you. You don't have to do anything. I got it. You don't have to do anything.
It feels very awkward, guys. I'm getting red here.
Do you know what I mean, though? How does that? Are you able to let that in? Are you able to receive that? It is uncomfortable.
I think that's my greatest struggle.
Mm.
Yeah,
letting. What is your greatest struggle? How would you say it?
Like letting people in, letting people take care of me.
If you let people in, if you let people take care of you,
are you really going to do this right now?
Yeah. How is this for the audience? Are you in some, it feels good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to turn around now.
Yeah. 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 So they're with you.
All right. Let's do it.
If, what do we say? If you let people in.
Let people in.
And, by the way, I'm exactly the same way. I know this. I have this down.
Yeah.
If you let people in, right? If you let others take care of you, you must have an image that something, I don't know, unpleasant is going to happen, or there's something scary. Like from a young place, obviously it's not rational, but.
I think it's if I let people take care of me, they could either be gone or let me down.
Like who? Who did that? Who was gone and let you down?
My mom and dad.
Your mom and dad.
Yeah.
Like I just feel that you had to make a decision at some point. Like, I'm on my own. I got to take care of myself. Not only do I have to take care of myself, I have to take care of my family. I'm not really going to get the support. And it's a decision, not like, I mean, the ego takes hold and says, like, look at me. I'm 13. I'm driving my mom around. Like, I'm amazing. But on a deeper level,
like, a lot of needs,
you're just doing it to survive.
Yeah.
You literally have to do this to survive.
Yeah.
And so if you don't do it, it's like something bad is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Jen take care of you? Do you let her?
She's wonderful.
You let her, though?
Yeah, I let her.
Why? How would you feel safe with her?
Because she loves me for me.
Uh-huh. I can see that.
Yeah, she's everything.
Yeah, but a man might be more of an edge.
You know, the thing is that even for Jen, no, I don't think a man is more of an edge. I just think I haven't had the opportunity to heal that part of me with a man yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're in relationship, you come face to face with that. And it's either, you know, in hindsight, you know what happened, guys, was I found myself, Jen would tell me a lot of things that my ex-wife would tell me.
Uh-huh.
So then I would catch myself thinking, okay, either they're crazy or something's not right if you're hearing the same thing.
Yeah.
So wake up, because there's got to be some truth to what she's saying about the way that she's feeling, you know?
Which was what? Do you remember?
I mean, it's just been so much.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, the beautiful thing about our relationship is both of us, like, we just, I think unknowingly, it's not something we said. We were just committed to, like, removing all the barriers.
Is there a shadow inside you that you have to keep an eye on? Like, I mean, you said you could be an asshole, but is there anything else in there that, like a little snake or a dragon that comes up once in a while that you have to be aware of? What is your shadow?
Keep asking, because I don't
well,
know.
Okay. You're a conqueror.
Okay.
Right?
Fair.
Fair. So yeah. Let's just hang out there for a minute.
Okay.
Because you are actually like, you're like a badass motherfucker.
Okay.
You get shit done.
Well, yeah, it's going to get
done. You get shit done.
Yeah.
You're super successful. You're good looking. You're articulate. You're intelligent. You're rich. You're that guy. And you make it happen like that.
Yeah.
Like that's a thing. That's
there's,
a thing.
There's no way that it's not going to happen.
Yeah. There's no way it's not going to happen. And you're hungry for it. It's like you were born for it. And maybe there's some unconscious motivations from your childhood that are driving it. And fair enough. Right. Yeah. I don't, that's unavoidable, but there's also something at your essence that's a conqueror. Right? Like I'm going to get what I fucking want.
Yeah.
And can you feel that there's a goodness in that?
Sure.
I love world's got to have conquerors. Yeah. Right. But is there a shadow? Is there I don't know. Something else. Like I'm going to win.
I think was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm talking about? You feel that? How does his conqueror, like, how does it feel? Inspiring. Do you feel safe with it? It's balanced by the need for safety. Right.
It's so interesting you brought that up. One of my greatest moments of release was Jen and I had, we were laying in bed and we were just like talking or we were having a moment. And all of a sudden, like, she holds me.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw in that moment essentially what my mom was searching for her whole life was to just be held.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw that her pain came from not having her mom mm-hmm. there to hold her.
But you didn't have your mother either, exactly. Not the way you want it.
Not the way, yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So I'm bringing this up because when you said that, it just made me remember. I literally cried my eyeballs out in that moment.
Wow.
Because I realized, number one, it was like, that was like the feminine wound in me.
Yeah.
It was like my grandmother carried, like, to my mom.
Yes.
My mom to me. And in that moment, I finally was able to, like, release it.
Uh-huh.
And I finally let Jen in and I let her hold me. And I was probably like a little baby, like just crying my eyeballs out, really.
Wow.
But it was a big moment of,
something.
Yeah. And it truly was a moment of like, oh my God, that's what I always wanted.
To be held.
I just wanted to be held.
To be held. Yeah. 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 What do you remember? Like the tears were. Like it was a grief,
like a
relief,
purging.
A purging.
Yeah, it was like a release.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Are there aspects of you that you are afraid to show the world or maybe that you even are afraid to acknowledge in yourself?
I think that's the one thing that like the world appreciates is, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty open book.
Uh-huh.
And I, as a matter of fact, I think that's the magic of Awaken is that they feel free to be vulnerable because I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
I work really hard to be vulnerable because in my eyes, anything outside of you being vulnerable is somehow connected to fear. You know, you're, mm-hmm. you're afraid to be seen or to mm-hmm. to show yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I work hard to confront that by just laying it all on the line, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're being really courageous now. I mean, you're just even showing up because you kind of know where I'm going to try to take it. and just so
yeah,
anyone
I got hot
who,
there for a second, I'm not going to lie.
What's that?
I got hot for a second.
You got hot?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What's hot?
No. When you brought up, what did he bring up? I don't know. You yeah. Letting people in. I was like,
Oh yeah. When I said, yeah, let me. Yeah.
You know, another one of my, I don't know if it's a shadow, but I know it's a thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to let people down.
Yeah. It's funny. I was thinking about that on the way over.
Yeah.
What's going to happen if you let people down?
They won't like me.
You won't be loved.
I won't be loved.
So if you let people down, you won't be loved.
Yeah.
That's another heavy burden that you have to carry.
Yeah, I know.
So I can imagine why you would check out once in a while, because you carry this heavy burden and every once in a while you got to disassociate. You got to like go somewhere to like give yourself some relief.
Yeah. Yeah. And I carry
let
this
me
burden.
Down. But just feel, no, hold on, stay, like just feel.
Yeah,
like if we're friends, right? And I want you to know that if you let me down, it's okay.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Like it's okay. Like I think you, if we're really friends, at some point you would let me down.
Sure.
Like, and I would let you, like it's, that's just relationship.
It's just relationship. Yeah. And it's interesting you're bringing this up right now.
Uh-huh.
Because that's one of my greatest struggles in relationship.
Uh-huh.
Is like once you let me down, like I let you out.
Okay. So that's the pressure on me if I'm in relationship with you is like I can't let
just being
you
honest,
down.
Right? I'm just being completely
yeah,
honest.
Great. Completely if I honest. Let you down, I'm out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anybody else like that? So I don't feel alone. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because why?
Probably just safer that way.
You're safer that way. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's deep shit.
Yeah. I'm going to keep just saying things. This is how I do it often, because it's like talking around it sometimes. It keeps it in the head. But if I just say things and to see how it feels for you. And then you just can notice. But if I just say, like, I want to know you more, just notice how that feels. Like,
I got awkward. Yeah.
Right? Like, I want to know you more.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know more about you or like, well, I don't know. I was going to say, yeah, it's funny. There's things I want to say, but I can feel where, like, if I say, like, I want to get closer to you, but I don't want anything from you. Like, I don't want to put any pressure. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I can feel where I hold back in relationship to you.
Shit,
because,
maybe it's me.
Well, maybe. I mean, if, yeah. You know, that's what I learned in the place where I'm not trusting. It creates a kind of a vibration where people will kind of ultimately like betray me or move away from me.
Yeah.
But I understand why. I mean, I relate to you here, and I think a lot of people here relate in their own way, like considering what happened to you. Because it's like, I know there's a place where you have worked really hard to get through it and I can still, you know, there's more there. It's never, I guess is what I came to through all the work that I did. Cause I went through this training and it was one thing after another. And I was 42 years old. I've been doing it for 10 years. And I'm like, I'm still fucking crazy. When does this end? And I realized like, oh no, it's just the acceptance that I'm imperfect. Like that I have these wounds and they're going to come up, and that I have to, you know, just sort of keep an eye on them and be humble to it and not take myself out because I'm not perfect all the time.
This is very humbling.
Humbling for you.
Yeah.
Why?
It feels good. Uh-huh. It feels scary. It feels there's just a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Like, I'm becoming aware of a part of me that has been a story that I have been like creating and manifesting that was a blind spot.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah.
How does that feel to the audience? Yeah. And he says that. It's so beautiful. It's so real. It's so human.
I think we're all going to cuddle afterwards or something. I'm going to let you guys in.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. You're amazing.
Thank you.
Like that, what you just did and your willingness. That's.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. It's interesting because when you first started, I was like, my ego was like, there's nothing there. There's nothing. Uh-huh. And then I just, there's nothing. There's nothing. Oh shit, there's something there. And then like, you can't, if there's any like benefit of this journey, like,
yeah,
is that, you know, once you're there, there's no,
yeah,
you gotta go find it.
Yes.
And I just realize it. And I gotta be honest with you. There's like, I'm starting to see, like, I can name names of like guys,
yeah,
that like probably they let me down, and I,
right,
just,
yeah,
and they'll constantly be trying to like come back in my life, and I'm like, nope,
yeah,
you let me down,
right,
and now you're out.
Now you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in truth, I created it from the story and the energy within me.
Yeah. That's how it works.
I know that's how it works. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's well, you say this is how we started this conversation. This is, you said everything is a mirror. Like, yeah, your exterior world is just a reflection of your interior world. So if you're getting let down, or you have this story that you're getting let down on some level, that's a mirror for what's going on inside you, or something that's unresolved inside you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Now what?
Fuck, I have to have friends and stuff. Yeah.
Well, you'll have to let go of some control.
Yeah.
But your dad's coming.
Yeah, but yeah.
Chicken coop. You're literally building a guest house for your father.
I'm building a guest house. The download was somehow going to eventually end up
there. Yeah, 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 yeah. But it is something, it is kind of magical. I mean, I felt that when we met the first time and we had that conversation, you were immediately like, come out to my event, and you know, there was a connection, and
and
it's why. And then when I asked you to do this, you were like 1,000%. And I know you're a busy guy. I didn't know if you were gonna say yes. And I guess that's like what I felt is like your higher self was saying yes to something.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know what I mean? That's how I that's why I was willing to ask you these questions, because I felt like you had given me permission.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
On some level.
For sure.
And I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Because I prefer sitting here than sitting there.
Yeah.
This is where I, this is like, you know, I get to stay in control.
Comfy zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Yeah. This is wild, guys, because it's like a part of me just died, you know? Because once you become aware of it, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to crawl back in the hole, or you're going to start to, like, work on it? You're going to start to, like, address it, you know?
I feel really protective of you.
Yeah?
Right now. Yeah, because you know... just what you said and the vulnerability.
Yeah, it feels vulnerable.
Yeah, it feels really vulnerable.
But I'm okay with that.
Well, Yeah, I know. And I just, I feel really protective of you. And like, I know you don't need taken care of, but.
You could take care of me.
Well, but this, that I'm here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you.
And also.
You don't need anything.
Yeah, no pressure. Like it's like, I don't, you know, you don't have to do anything. Like no demand.
I get that.
It's just that. Yeah. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
I'm glad to know you.
Glad to know you. Yeah.
And is there anything else you need in this moment? Like to bring it into closure, or just to complete anything? Is there anything else you need to say, or?
It's interesting because I find myself trying to make it a teaching moment.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, shut up and just like, like do this for you. Like allow this for you for a moment. So that I needed to say that I'm just like really letting this sit and sink in right now. Cause it was a blind spot for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.